calling all members of the in crowd. If you want to get in on the action, we want to hear from you. Hit us up, faderoutemail@gmail.com, or slide in our DMs on IG @faderoutepodcast, or drop us a line on X @faderoutednz. You can find us on Facebook, The Fade Route with DNZ. We're on Spreaker. We're on YouTube, The Fade Route with DNZ. Catch our videos. Like, subscribe, share, tell your friends, and spread the word. Coming at you from the Hey Yo Studios, it's the Fade Route with DNZ. Here are your hosts, D and Z.
Coming at you live from the Hey Yo Studio.
Hey Yo.
It's the Fade Route with D and Z. I am D, and we've got a great show for you tonight. Austin Rivers mouths off, Kadari Richmond transfers, and the Knicks won again, but not without controversy. We begin today's show with the defending champs are on the ropes. The Minnesota Timberwolves are taking it to the Denver Nuggets. They blew out the defending champs in Denver in Game 2 without Rudy Gobert to take a 2-0 lead. Z, why are the defending champs struggling with the basketball team from Minnesota?
Believe it or not, it's actually the defense of Minnesota. When you think Minnesota, right, the Minnesota Timberwolves, you're thinking Anthony Edwards, you're thinking Karl Anthony Towns. You're thinking Rudy Gobert is the only guy who's playing defense. Au contraire, mon frère.
Mon frère.
It ain't just Rudy Gobert. No, sir. So, and congratulations to Rudy, as he had another child. So good for him. Congratulations to Rudy Gobert and his wife. He did...
Fourth Defensive Player of the Year trophy.
Yeah. So there's a
friend
lot...
of the program.
Friend of the show, just don't lick the microphone. So Rudy Gobert has kind of laid the defensive groundwork to the point where he doesn't even need to be there. Fuckers are buying in. It's almost as if defense wins championships, right? So defense and rebounding. What are the Timberwolves excelling at right now? Defense and rebounding. That's not to say they're not scoring the basketball, because they absolutely are scoring the basketball. Anthony Edwards has been fantastic in this series. Now, major points, 43, I believe, in game one, a drop off to 27 in game two. 27 points, still nothing to sneeze at, right? And then, yeah, you're wondering how Rudy Gobert not being there is gonna affect the team, and catching a lot of shit from fans for going to make sure his family is okay. That's bullshit. No. Let the guy go and look after his family. Let him go be at the birth of his child. Let him go support his wife as she's giving birth to his child. It's a playoff game. I understand that, but his family will be here longer than these playoffs.
And like LeBron said, it's just basketball.
It is just basketball at the end of the day, which is irony. It's ironic coming from LeBron. But, at the end of the day, it's true. Basketball, like, to go full Anthony Rendon, basketball's a job. Basketball's a job. Let's go full Anthony Rendon in this. You never want to go full Anthony Rendon. But, where the Nuggets are faltering is they can't handle this defensive swarm of the Minnesota Timberwolves, and it's frustrating the shit out of them. It's frustrating Jamal Murray. That's why he acted out. It frustrated Mike Malone, to the point where he was trying to get kicked out of the game, and the ref said, "Fuck you! You're gonna stay here and watch
you're
this.
Gonna watch, you're gonna watch this. Get waxed.
That's right. I'm gonna duct tape you to this fucking chair, and you're gonna watch." So, you know, they are the defending champion, so I do expect some level of fight left in them. But, you know, I gotta say, this is a defensive clinic by the Minnesota Timberwolves, and something that was unexpected, completely unexpected, at the onset of this series.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think we didn't expect it to be blowouts, right? I mean,
no, not
we thought they would compete for four quarters, but, I mean, you have the Nuggets here only scoring 15 points in the second quarter. That's just not going to get it done against a team that's hungry like the Timberwolves. I mean, the mission was clear in game one. It was really just to put a body on the Joker. And they've got two guys. They've got Towns and they've got Gobert. Game two is the surprising one because Rudy Gobert wasn't there.
Right.
And they still got production from almost everybody on the team. Right now, that kind of minimum effort that the Joker usually gets by with against most teams, it's not getting it done against this hungry Timberwolves team. I think that's the difference here.
Yeah.
Is, you know, you got Anthony Edwards scoring almost 30 points, Karl Anthony Towns going to the basket, shooting, getting rebounds, like being every bit as good as he says he is, right?
Yeah.
And then you get chip-ins from Walker and Naz Reid. Naz Reid was pretty absent in the first game, and Walker too. So this is the kind of thing that, you know, this is when a team from Minnesota just comes out of nowhere and punches you in the mouth. But I will also say that Murray is playing hurt, right? Mm-hmm. He's got a calf that's been bothering him. He's shooting 30% from the floor. I don't think that's the Minnesota defense. I just think he's hurt. And, you know, Joker, not saying that winning motivates him, but he has a certain level of play that he's accustomed to. And he doesn't really ever have to turn it up or turn it down. It is what it is. But in this series against this team that's hungry and wants to win, you're going to have to find another level or this is going to be over in four games.
Well, you also have to look at the fact that they're throwing size at this, right?
Right.
They start, right? Game one, they started Karl Anthony Towns, Rudy Gobert, Jaden McDaniels. You had Naz Reid come off the bench. He was more of a factor in game two, but he came in off the bench. Size is giving them a problem. Size is definitely giving them a problem. And Anthony Edwards, for a shooting guard, right? He goes back. He plays defense. It was a key block leading to a transition. That's what he does. Like, he goes balls to the wall. And that's that fits the style. And Mike Conley does what Mike Conley does. He's a facilitator. That's what he's there to do. But you have to be concerned the longer this series goes. You figure that the Nuggets will get one. I hope they get the next one for their sake.
I really don't know, man. You know, it's interesting because watching last night, it felt like watching, I don't remember if it was during the first championship run or the second championship run of the Warriors when they faced San Antonio. And you can tell, like, San Antonio had a plan, and 3 minutes into that game, it wasn't going as planned. Like, like, San Antonio had to call timeout. Like, Aldridge wasn't getting out in the shooters. You know, it just wasn't working. But, you know, the plan wasn't working. And that's what it looked like last night. It's like, okay, this isn't really working in the second quarter. So what's the next plan? What are we going to throw at these guys to kind of slow them down and change things up? Because it just seems like it's a matchup nightmare for the Nuggets right now.
Completely. And as Wise Man once said, everybody has a plan until they get punched in the mouth. So,
right.
You know, to quote the great Mike Tyson, it's that's the plan. Like, the Wolves have decided to come out here and they are going to pop them in the face. They're going to go into the yard. They're going to take out the defending champions, and they're going to see what they're made of. But I got to say...
Barring a resurgence from Murray, this is going to be over in 4 or 5 games because he needs to compete at an all-star high level. He needs to be dropping 27 a game. And him shooting 30% from the field and only having 8 points, not going to do it. Like, they're like yesterday, they were relying on Aaron Gordon to be their second best player, and he wound up being their best player, dropping 20, because Minnesota was going to live with that. Like, Aaron Gordon, go get yours, man. Go get it. Go get yours, but we ain't letting Joker get his. We're gonna make Michael Porter work for everything he gets, and Jamal Murray is hurt. And even Caldwell Pope, like, dude, where were you, man? Where are you? He had 4 points. Come on, guys. 4 points in 28 minutes? I can drop 4 points in 28 minutes.
Well,
Austin Rivers can drop 4 points in 28 minutes.
Well, see, that you can get 4 yards a carry. But I got to say, though, the longer it goes, you have to be concerned about the rotation for the Timberwolves. There are 5 guys that are not being rotated into this game. It's a very short bench.
Right.
And that burns you. Like, ask Tom Thibodeau about that. Ask Tom Thibodeau about running a short bench.
Tibbs. Yeah, just talking about Tibbs. The New York Knicks took game 1 in the Garden, and they're playing right now. But not without controversy. Once again, the 2-minute report in this game was ugly. Ugly, ugly. The refs incorrectly called a kick ball, allowed the Knicks to be very physical with the Pacers, and called a controversial illegal screen on the Pacers on their last possession. This is the second round in a row the refs are having issues in Madison Square Garden. At what point do we have to call into question the NBA's motives to keep the Knicks alive in the playoffs?
Do we need to call in Jamaican Lion for conspiracy theories?
Is that what you
Yeah, maybe we need to talk to Jamaican Lion. What's up, my brother? I don't know. It was the actual the kickball was accurate. The screen was actually upheld, according to the refs report. They got it right.
Well, hold on a second. First of all, you can't make that call on the last possession of the game. That's number one. Number two, it might have been an illegal screen, but dude, they were running that shit all game and it wasn't getting called. So why in the last possession the Pacers have where they're trying to tie the game, do you call that? That's my beef with that call. That's my only problem with it. It's like you can't the whole game let these guys do what they're doing, and then in the last 2 minutes when the Pacers have the ball, you're going to call this. Especially, there was a bogus charge call earlier in the quarter, and Dante DiVincenzo was a shirt recipient of that, and he was over-dramatized going to the ground, like, ridiculously. Like, I understand he's got a championship, but he doesn't get the benefit of that call, my man. So that's my problem is we're either going to allow aggression and allow somewhat of illegal screens, or we're not going to call it at all. But in its last 2 minutes or on the last Pacer possession, can't happen. Can't happen. It cannot happen. And honestly, I'm getting to the point where it's like, okay, LeBron's out, the Heat's out, Lakers are out. We need Boston and the Knicks to be in the next round. We can't have the Knicks and the Pacers and the Celtics, because that's not going to go 6 or 7 games. That's going to be quick. And that's really what the draw is. And I'm, you know, the NBA is infamous for this shit. This is what they do, man. This is, especially with all the controversy going on,
so you're
with
calling
gambling
right now
and refereeing. What I'm saying is that I'm not calling it. I'm going to give them a chance, but it's a bad look. And granted, this is against the Indiana Pacers, so they're not saying much over in Indiana. Look, I'm watching the game right now. They're just pushing people when they're trying to get a rebound. I don't want to see that call then at the end of the game. Don't give me that shit. You're either going to let them be aggressive or not be aggressive. Let's not tighten this shit up for the Knicks in the last 2 minutes. And I hope the Knicks win. We live in New York. I want to see the Knicks go to the next round. But not like this, man. not against this. They can beat this team. This is not that great of a team. Their best player is hurt. They got Obi Toppin starting, who the Knicks threw away for nothing. Like, they don't need to get the benefit of these calls. They got Josh Hart, who's 6'4", out-rebounding everybody on the Knicks and out-rebounding everybody on the Pacers. Jalen Brunson's dropping over 40 a game. The over-under for Jalen Brunson tonight's 35. Don't give illegal screen and bullshit calls at the end of games. Let them fucking earn it. Let them win the game.
Inconsistency of officiating is nothing new in the NBA. Especially in the light of gambling, this is the reason why the two-minute report exists. They don't give a fuck if they get it right. They give a fuck about justifying what happened to gamblers, about the spread, especially in the light of the Tim Donaghy thing. So, at the end of the day, that's what that is, right? They want somebody to blame. It's convenient to blame the refs. That's what they're gonna do. I agree. You let the teams play. This is the playoffs. There was a league memorandum. There was a league directive. We are going to let you be more physical. This came down in March. It is now May. Let the kids play, as they used to say for the baseball ad campaign. Let them play. And if they can't handle the wood, then that's their fucking problem. But take it back to the 90s. That's what the Knicks are trying to do. They're trying to be physical. It's what they're trying to do. Are they getting the benefit of calls? Sure. Did they get calls against them in the Philly series? Sure. Do I expect that wasn't a flagrant on Joel Embiid?
No.
Yanking on Mitchell Robinson's leg? That's pretty dirty.
What happened before that?
Also dirty. Like, I'm not disputing that it was dirty.
I'm not disputing it was dirty.
Let him play. We're in agreement. Okay. We're in agreement on this. We're absolutely in agreement. But the issue is that the league has now opened itself up to the scrutiny when they didn't need to. Would fans be complaining if they didn't have this two-minute report? Yeah, they would have said their piece and they would be here for the next game. Do I fully expect the Pacers to get home cooking? Yeah, I do. That's how refs
gonna
work.
If they're gonna be fair about it, then yeah. But I won't believe that until I see it.
I mean, think about it from the Rangers Hurricanes perspective. Let's go hockey for a second.
I don't think Philly got the benefit of the doubt in Philly, especially in the last game down there. Like, they didn't get they straight up lost the game in New York where Tyrese Maxey was thrown to the ground. That's why they lost that game. That lost them the series. They win that game, they lose in Philly. There's a game 7. That round is basically over because of all the physicality that went down in the first game in Madison Square Garden, or the second game in Madison Square Garden.
Second game
in Madison Square Garden.
Yeah. This is the direction that the NBA is going to. The players know about it. The referees need to call it. And this is how series are going to be won. Who's going to pay the price? Who's willing to pay the price?
If you're going to say it like that, then you're already saying that the Knicks are going to win this series because they're going to go for the Knicks. They're going to let the Knicks get the benefit of the doubt. They're going to let the Knicks get those calls because they want the Knicks to go to the next round. They do not want to see the Pacers and the Celtics in the next round. I just want to be called fair. I just want to be called fake. I want to see the game go into overtime. I'm a Knicks fan.
By your rationale, if somehow the Pacers do knock off the Knicks, that means that the Celtics are going to get every single call next round because they don't want the Pacers in the NBA Finals. Like, yes. What we're saying, what we're dancing around the issue of impropriety. We are flat out, we're dancing around the fact that we're saying it, but we're not saying it. Like,
yeah,
we're saying it's rigged. It sounds like we're dancing around the issue of it being rigged.
I'm just saying that I don't like the way last night ended. I don't like the way game two ended in Madison Square Garden in the Philly series. I just don't like the way the optics of it is terrible. And as a Knicks fan, I mean, not that I'm a Knicks fan, but I root for the Knicks. I want them to win. I'm from New York. I don't want it to be that, oh, in the year that LeBron was gone, in the year that the Lakers were out, in the year that the Heat were hurt, the Bucks were hurt, this is the year the Knicks get there. Let them earn it. They're going to earn it. Like, they're better than the Pacers. I already said I expected the Knicks win in five.
Yeah.
They don't need the help. They don't need the bullshit. They don't need an illegal screen called. The guy would have fucking missed the shot. Like, he wasn't going to be... He's not clutch like that. He wasn't going to finish off the Knicks. No, Miles Turner is not. Right. Like, fucking love, whatever. Get the fuck up. Like, don't be soft about this.
But you know what? Then it's time for Tyrese Halliburton. Like, we crowned him. We crowned him. The league has crowned him as an up-and-coming rising star. Show up the way Jalen Brunson has shown up. The challenge is fully on Tyrese Halliburton now.
It's hard, though, Z. It's hard because the dude is hurt. All right? He's hurt. And I'm not making excuses for him because I don't really think he's that good of a player anyway. But, you know, he's hurt. So it's hard to say, well, you know, show up, be a star. That's not who he is, right? He's not. He's a Mr. Olympic. Yeah, that's great. But he's not. He's not winning any MVP awards, if you know what I mean.
No. I mean, in this generation of player, Tyrese Halliburton is a very good player. I don't know if he's going to be the superstar that the league needs him to be.
He's Tim Tebow, all right? He's Tim Tebow.
I wouldn't go that far. Jesus Christ, what the hell did he do to you? What the hell did he do to you? I'll call him Tim Tebow. Jesus Christ.
He's Tim Tebow.
Oh, my God.
Are you in need of air care maintenance or service? I have the company for you. Air Care Technicians. They service the Westchester and Northern Bronx area and can help you with all your heating and cooling maintenance and service needs. Just give them a call at 914-315-1547. Again, that's 914-315-1547. Or shoot them an email at aircaretechnicians@gmail.com. These guys are the real deal as they are veteran-owned, licensed, and insured. Make sure to tell them that D&Z sent you.
Speaking of Florida, right? We're talking about the Orlando Magic. The Paolo Banchero-led Orlando Magic got sent packing. Now, the Cleveland Cavaliers are taking on the Boston Celtics. Meanwhile, Chet Holmgren and the Oklahoma City Thunder advanced from the first round, and they take on the Dallas Mavericks in the second round. These guys are taking 1 and 2 in the 2022 NBA draft. Do you think the Magic want a do-over?
Paolo Napoleon James Banchero. Banchero.
Banchero.
Here's the deal. It's like, when I look at this, I feel like we know what Chet Holmgren is. I feel like he hasn't peaked as a player, but we know who he is. He's a two, right? Not the shit. He's like a number two. He's a number two on the team. Like, he can't lead a team. He can't be the best player on his team. He can't win MVP awards. He's not going to be a Finals MVP, right?
No. He complements SGA very well.
Right. Now, on the other end, when I look at Paolo Banchero, I do see a possible Finals MVP. I see a guy who could be the MVP of the league. I see a guy who could be Blake Griffin. I see a guy who can't be a Tim Duncan, but could be the best player on his team. So I don't think the Magic are disappointed in where they picked. I think they're happy with Paolo, and I think his future is brighter than Chet Holmgren's. Individually.
I think that's fair. Chet Holmgren is clearly in a better situation. It's a better team around him. He has Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, right? He has that Batman where he doesn't need to be the guy all the time, which is nice. He gets to, you know, do that. Who is Paolo Banchero banking on? Right? Who is his guy in Orlando? The Wagners? Jalen Suggs? Cole Anthony?
Cole Anthony!
Markelle Fultz?
Who?
Former overall pick number one from Markelle Fultz, remember? Got the yips in Philly. That guy. Joe Ingles. Joe Ingles is there. Joe Ingles.
Good. Love that guy.
Yeah, that's awesome. Who's the guy? Is this the team that goes and gets Jimmy Butler? Is this the team that goes and makes a play for LeBron? Is this the team? Because this doesn't excite me. It doesn't woo me. It doesn't wow me. Right? SGA, Chet Holmgren, the Thunder, they got something special. As presently constituted, Orlando's probably 5-6, like right where they should be. It's not enough. Banchero has to be the guy all the time. That being said, in terms of individual star power, best player available, I think you stick with Banchero at number one. I think that works.
And then where are you on Chet?
Chet's solid. He's fine. You know, my concern with him coming out of college was that he needed to put weight on. Right? He was a very, very skinny man. He's still a rather skinny man. And that certainly, you know, that certainly won't help him in the Austin Rivers experiment. That's for damn sure. So, you know, he's still got to fill out. He's a very good player.
Oddly enough, he actually beats Paolo in most categories. I mean, outside of points, he's got him in rebounds. He doesn't have an assist, but he shoots better from the field. He actually shoots better from three, and he's a better foul shooter. Like, he's got him in a lot of key categories.
Yeah.
But to me, I mean, Paolo is showing me that. I mean, do you see the same thing for Paolo? Do you see him as a future MVP of the league? Do you think he could be a finals MVP? Do you think he could be the best player? He is the best player on his team. But do you think he could be the best player on his team in the finals?
So, Paolo Banchero has also played almost twice as many games as Chet Holmgren. Because Chet Holmgren got hurt,
yeah,
right?
So, 152 games versus 82 games.
Exactly. So, Let's pump the brakes a little bit on that. Like, let's, you know, one, he's, this guy's a year ahead of him. He should be, you know, Paolo Banchero, there's more tape on him. There's more opportunities to drive his statistics down, right? As much as there is to grow your statistics, you can also kind of level things out. Could he be the MVP of a league? Sure. Absolutely he could. I mean, he can fit in with Anthony Edwards. He can fit in there with SGA. He can fit in there, you know, with those young rising stars. Absolutely. He absolutely could. It's what do they get around him so that they take the next level. What you don't want if you're the Orlando Magic, what you don't want if you're Paolo Banchero, is to be on that 4-5 treadmill. Because if you're stuck at 4-5, then you're stuck at 4-5 pretty much forever. Right? I mean, look at Donovan Mitchell. Look at Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah.
Donovan Mitchell. Where was he last year? He was a 5. Where is he this year? The 4. So, you know. Oh, he went up 1. Great. Great. Good job. Good job, Spider.
Great.
Thought you was all right, Spider. So, yeah, no, that's the, you know, that's the treadmill of mediocrity that people like to talk about. But I don't see why either one of these guys, like, they'll both be in the discussion, absolutely, as well as Wemby, as well as everybody else that we mentioned already. So the NBA is going to be in good hands moving forward. And Vaquero, Chet Holmgren, excellent choices moving forward, definitely. But speaking of choices, Austin Rivers certainly made a choice. He absolutely made a choice in airing these feelings that he has. So Mr. Rivers feels like he could easily take 30 NBA players and insert them into the NFL. But he does not think that 30 NFL players could play in the NBA. Retired football player J.J. Watt and Burnley owner took offense to this on the Pat McAfee show, saying that Austin Rivers is unemployed in both leagues, so maybe he should give it a shot. J.J. Watt is a fantastic ex-follow, mind you. Fantastic ex-follow. So, were these comments credible, in your opinion? Is Austin Rivers onto something?
Austin Rivers is on something. He's certainly on something. He should just shut up and just go, like, this is a guy that got traded for by his dad and, like, re-signed by his dad. Like, did anybody forget that? No. It's not true at all. Like, there's no credibility there. I mean, there are 30 guys in the NBA that don't even belong in the NBA right now.
You're not wrong.
I think, until you've been tackled by a grown man, you really can't say what you can and you can't do in the National Football League. Right? There's a reason why certain players, you know, gravitate towards football and basketball and baseball, you know. And on the flip side of that, we've actually seen basketball players make the transition to football. So it's not like, you know, what he's saying is not correct. I mean, some college players can play, you know, the game, but to say you could take 30 guys in the NBA right now, that seems a little ridiculous.
Well, I will see his 30 and I will raise him two Hall of Famers, right? Julius Peppers and Tony Gonzalez. Guys that we've seen do it. Right. So, but which 30 are we talking about here? You know, are we talking about the skinny, scrawny guys like Chet Holmgren? Like, is he one of your guys? Like, I wouldn't think so. I think he would get laid out and he'd be done.
Right.
So, LeBron. Like, that's always the argument. Oh, LeBron can step into the league and play tight end right now. He's built like a tight end, sure. Go over the middle with Micah Parsons and see.
Right.
Yep. You give them the lumber. Again, give them the lumber. See how quickly they back down. I don't buy it for
Allen,
a second.
Allen Iverson was a really good football player in high school. And he even said that it was his first love and he really loved it. But he felt like he was too small. His game is better suited for basketball, you know? And look at how people go down in basketball. Like, basically barely getting touched and falling on the ground. And all the theatrics. You can't really do that in football. Like, when you go down, you got to kind of get back up.
Right, exactly. You have 35 seconds to get back into the huddle. Right. Like, Joel Embiid, no chance in the NFL. Giannis, not with that back, no way. Uh-uh. So, I don't think Austin Rivers has a leg to stand on here.
That's actually another good comment. It's the fragility of these NBA players, too. I mean, you know, you got guys that can't play in a back-to-back. Your back-to-back is like practice. Yeah. You know, in football, they're practicing every day just to get ready for one game on Sunday. And you're gonna cry because you were in, you know, California yesterday and you're in Texas today? Nah, I can't do it, you know? So, I mean, listen, I think there are a lot of athletes on both sides, right?
Yeah.
I think football, you have to be a tremendous athlete to be able to run up and down the field, constantly hit the ground, get back up, take full force from another grown man. You know, football really tests your will and your determination. And as far as basketball is concerned, you've got to be really crafty. You've got to be a finesse player. You've got to be incredibly agile. You got to be able to, you know, think quickly. And it's very team oriented. So I think you're taking a shot at both sports by saying it's interchangeable.
They're different skill sets and they're different body types. You know, it's like, if think about Joe Thomas, right? A guy like Joe Thomas, yeah, he's built for football. But at the same time, like, as soon as he retired, he dropped all that weight and he was back to being a regular human being. So yeah, he dropped a human.
The Pouncey twins did the same thing. If you saw them now, you wouldn't even recognize them. No.
And then, you know, look at a guy like Patrick Mahomes. You're telling me Patrick Mahomes couldn't do well in the NBA? I have a feeling that Patrick Mahomes would be pretty damn okay in the NBA. A guy like Lamar Jackson? I can see that.
Terrell Owens, could play basketball.
Yeah.
I've seen him dunk. I've seen him play in the celebrity games.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like Austin Rivers was trying to like pump up his game when it didn't need to be pumped up. Like it was an argument that nobody was fucking having. It was just one of those clickbait things that just kind of took life of its own. And well, I gotta say that, you know, Mr. Rivers is very, very off base here.
Do you love brownies? Of course you love brownies. But you know what's better than a brownie? A delicious, handcrafted, gourmet brownie delivered right to your doorstep. That's what our guys at Sweet Life Brownie Co. offer. Chef Tommy D and the crew offer a dozen delicious delights that you will crave, from the classic OB to Dutch apple to campfire s'mores and many more. Check out their website, sweetlifebrownieco.com, for their Friday brownie drops. At noon, their site goes live and you see what they're making. Since you're there, become a site member and earn points. You earn 50 points just by signing up. Make sure you follow on Instagram and Facebook too, at sweetlifebrownie_co, for the latest updates and their latest releases and creations. That's sweetlifebrownieco.com. Give them a call, 845-641-3043, and tell them D&Z sent you. That's sweetlifebrownieco.com, 845-641-3043. Sweet Life Brownie Co., because there's always room for a brownie.
But I'm sure you're happy about this news. Speaking of base, there's a new home base for one of the top college basketball players. St. John's was able to land Kadari Richmond from Seton Hall and Devin Smith from Utah. Are they ready? Is St. John's ready to take the crown from UConn?
They are certainly in good position. This has been, you know, a really great week for St. John's, landing Kadari Richmond, who was number one in the portal, and landing Smith from Utah. They finally have a guard that when it's crunch time, they could go to for like a bucket, or when you're trying to stop the bleeding, you can go to this guy. So, you know, you can score a basket on the offensive side. He also plays solid defense, and he's played in the Big East, so this is not something new for him. And I totally expect them to compete at a high level against UConn, Marquette, and Creighton next year.
They should be in the conversation. They absolutely should be in the conversation. You land a guy that averages 13-6-7 in Smith, and then you get a guy in Richmond who is averaging 16-7-5. You better friggin' be in the conversation.
So, Z, not to break this conversation off, but it looks like Jalen Brunson hurt his foot in the Knick game.
He's
questionable to return.
Oh, jeez.
Sore foot, questionable to return.
Well, here we go.
Here we go.
So, adversity introduces a man to himself. So, let's see what...
He was subbed out with 3 minutes and 32 seconds left in the first quarter, and he has not returned.
Well, who's stepping up? Josh Hart? OG Anunoby?
Right, yeah, right now it's OG. OG is 22 points.
There you go.
10 just in this quarter. But
so,
ladies and gentlemen, this is now a series.
Long term, if they get past the Pacers and Jalen Brunson is not on the court, they're getting swept by the Celtics. I'm just saying it right now.
I think the Adam Silver's like, shit.
God,
should have got a live chicken.
Damn it. Fuck. Is there? Can I trade LeBron to the Knicks right now?
Right now.
Right fucking now.
Sounds like he's putting the call in at halftime. All right, we need the Pacers to fucking roll this now.
I don't know how we're gonna do this, but like we gotta fix this right now.
They're dribbling the ball off their foot. They look like a fucking circus act right now.
Oh Jesus Christ! But
anyway, back to St. John's. Yeah. It's beautiful. I mean, this is why you brought Patino here, right? You brought Patino here because he's supposed to be able to get the guys that you weren't able to get. You should be able to recruit the best players in the Northeast. You should be able to get the best guard in New York City. Anybody who's trying to make it to the NBA, you should be coming to Madison Square Garden to play basketball for St. John's and Rick Pitino. And now, you know, he's able to get the kid from Utah, this guy from Seton Hall. I mean, this all but buries Seton Hall for next year. This is what you brought him in for. Pacers open up a 10-point lead.
No, here we go. Here it is. Exactly. Like, this is the cachet of Rick Pitino, right? Now, this is where the rubber meets the road for him.
Right, because now the pressure is on Rick. Rick,
yeah.
You were complaining last year that we didn't have money, that we didn't have players. And guess what? We hit our Wall Street guys up. We got you the players. We got you the best guy in the transfer portal. We got you another guard from Utah. You're returning some guys. No excuses this year. So it's going to be up to him, who's Rick Pitino in his 70s, who, you know, was able to get an Iona team into the tournament, almost got St. John's into the tournament last year. But, you know, this is where there's no excuses now to, like, open up a quarter 0-9.
Yeah.
There's no excuses now on why you blow a 20-point lead.
Nope.
There's no excuses now on why in crunch time in the last couple of minutes that you don't have the ball with confidence, right? Because, I mean, listen, I followed St. John's last year. I'm a big Johnny fan, former Johnny. And watching games last year, I never felt comfortable to lead. And there was never a guy who could stop the bleeding. It's like, yeah, we won. You know, I thought that guy could be Jenkins. Yeah, I thought it could be Soriano. It just wasn't. You know, Soriano really floundered down the stretch. It's like, what happened to the guy in the beginning of the season who was getting like double doubles? He like disappeared, and his foul shooting was just so flat. And then Jenkins, you know, he had stretches where he would go to the basket, get the bucket. There were times when he would take that elbow jumper, but then there were other times where he would like shoot a knuckleball 3-pointer that would hit nothing but the backboard. Like, what the fuck was that? Are you trying to pass it to somebody? You looking for John Candy in the stands? Like, what are you doing? So that's this kind of garbage that really needs to go away this season. And I was glad that the NCAA didn't give Ledlam his 5th year, 6th year, whatever. He was looking for more time in college. Dude, get out of here. Go to the NBA. Just get off this team. I'm not a fan of Chris Ledlam at all. So
you spend that much time in college, you're a doctor, right? Come on now. Like Scotty Reynolds. How many years was Scotty Reynolds at friggin' Villanova? It felt like 20 years.
But you're not an NBA player, okay?
No.
You got to start trying to figure out what's next for you. Like, that's my whole thing with Chris Ledlam. Like, I don't want to see you play basketball anymore, at least not for my school. Like, I am so sick of that guy. Like, that guy is just awful. There is nothing good about his game. Like, I thought there was a handful of times last year where I really thought either Rick Pitino was going to have a stroke or he was going to strangle him. Because you're just like, what the fuck are you doing? you're not a three-point shooter. Stop shooting three-pointers. And then when you play defense, you got to move your damn feet. Like, it was like his feet was in, like, quicksand. It's like, dude, move your feet. Move. Like, just, he was basically tapping guys on the back. Go shoot a layup. Like, what are you doing? Box out, constantly going over the back on people. He was infamous for making a foul on one side of the court and then coming down court and making another foul. It's like, dude, just get out of the game. Get out of the game. You are slow, you are too thick, and this is just not for you, dude.
But you can say that, you can get that message across in the media last year. You got your guys, you got your blue chippers this year. I don't know if that's going to fly with these guys, right? I get that you like that from Coach Pitino. You're on record saying you love that from Coach Pitino.
Yes, I do.
It
changed the game, but it changed the direction of the team. They didn't lose another game that season except for to UConn.
We don't know how these guys like to be coached. Are they going to respond? Are these bonus babies going to be the kinds of guys who are like, fuck you, right? what is the mentality, right? Is it going to be like, okay, like, coach is trying to get me to be better? Is like, or fuck this guy, you know? Like, there are different ways that you can take this, and it doesn't work for everybody. So, like, hopefully coach knows what he's doing, because, you know, he's been around.
Yeah. I really truly believe he knows what he's doing, and now we've got him players. Like, there's, like I'm saying, there's no excuses now, Rick. Like, there's absolutely no excuses. Like, get these guys in there and let's go.
Avoid messy accidents. Get better stopping power with your brake pads. Callahan brake pads. You never know when you'll be driving in the road and there will be a truck tire that you need to avoid and save your family. Callahan Auto. We really care about what's under your hood.
Bullshit or no shit, we're going to debate this week's most controversial sports topics right now.
All right, boys and girls, we have a statement, and it's either bullshit or no shit. Bullshit or no shit, number one, LeBron James is a coach killer.
Nah, man, I'm not. I think it's bullshit. I listened to his podcast with JJ Redick, which just frustrates me. He has a podcast with JJ Redick.
You mean his future coach in the Lakers if he stays?
I just want to say the thing that I learned about LeBron. I think he's a different breed. Like, he's a different... We haven't seen a basketball player and a mind of his caliber ever. Like, he is the first of his kind. He is incredibly smart when it comes to the game of basketball. And some of the things he talks about, his innate abilities to just do things with his left and do things with his right, you know, since he was a little kid, and just knowing what the smart basketball play was is incredible. And you got to remember, like, this is a guy who he had... Coach Spo in the beginning, and Coach Spo was able to stay and win championships. Ty Lue, who has become a really good coach, has won championships with LeBron, has been successful with LeBron. So, you know, it doesn't depend. It's like he needs to be on the same wavelength as his coach, which is the same to say for a lot of players, a lot of good players. So I'm not going to say he's a coach killer, but I also am going to say that he challenges coaches to know just as much as he does, and he knows a lot about basketball.
He's had 9 coaches in 21 years. 7 of them have been fired. Now, the Luke Walton thing was not a him decision, right? That was a, oh shit, Luke Walton has been accused of sexual assault. Yeah, no, we gotta, like, he's been accused of sexual harassment, sexual assault. No, we gotta get rid of him.
Did he really coach LeBron?
He was on the Lakers. So they got rid of him, and then they went to Vogel.
Where's Luke Walton now?
I think.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Frank Vogel. That's right. I forgot about that. He won a championship with Frank.
Darvin Ham, Vogel, David Blatt, Mike Brown, Paul Silas. He has left an impressive swath in his wake. Only 2 guys have survived. Ty Lue, because he actually was on an interim, and Ty Lue left.
Oh, so Luke Walton's an assistant coach with the Cavaliers.
He's with the Cavs now? I know he was hot shit with the Warriors, and then he was with the Kings for a little bit.
He was hot shit.
He was hot shit for a little while. And then Eric Spoelstra. Eric Spoelstra is the only one who survived unscathed.
Knicks gave up 73 points in the first fucking half of the
Jesus
game.
Christ. Jesus Christ.
Somebody get a hand up.
Well, halftime can't come fast enough. Now is the time to rally the troops if you're Tibbs. But
guys, they're on pace for 146. Let's do better in the next quarter.
Don't play defense, so they're on pace for 146. We're still on pace for 145. They don't play any fucking defense.
112.
Yeah.
No, 112.
Yeah, they don't play any fucking defense, so let's make this happen. So, yeah, I mean, I gotta go no shit on this, just for the simple fact that all of those guys, that's an impressive list of guys that have been shit canned by player / GM / president of basketball operations, LeBron James. There are certain demands that you need to fulfill when LeBron James is on your roster, when he puts pen to paper. It's that Faustian bargain that I like to talk about. You make a deal with the devil. You bring in his guys, and you get him his guys at the trade deadline. You do what he says. You indulge him when he does his passive-aggressive bullshit. Am I staying or am I going? When he plays Hamlet, they used to say about Brett Favre. This willy or won't he nonsense. You kowtow to him at all times. And if you don't kowtow to him, you will not be there long. That's kind of how it works. So, I don't know. 21 years... That's quite the reputation, and that's quite the path of destruction. Along with the great basketball too. That's the thing. The basketball is sometimes secondary when it comes to this kind of stuff. Bullshit or no shit, number 2, the Miami Marlins should be contracted.
Come on, man, that's bullshit. Why you want to contract the Marlins? I like the Marlins. They try. They're not mailing it in like the...
When?
They're not mailing it in like the White Sox are mailing it in. They're out there trying. What, just because they traded their best player? They had really high aspirations in the beginning of this year. They were talking a large game.
They're putting the ass in aspirations.
They got 10 wins. They only have 2 less wins than the Astros. The Astros are really trying. Nah, bullshit.
Way back when, there were 2 teams that were in consideration to be contracted. The Minnesota Twins and the Montreal Expos. No one went to the fucking ballpark in Montreal. So I can understand why they would want to do that. Minnesota could not get out of its own way until they finally did. They play to a 3/4 empty stadium in fucking Miami, right? They got a retractable roof. They got everything they needed, right? When have they been good? 1997, okay? They bought all that talent and then promptly got rid of them in 1998, right? Alou, gone. Al Leiter, gone. Kevin Brown, gone. Gary Sheffield, gone.
But then they came back, didn't they?
They retooled, right? Uh-huh. Josh Beckett, 2003. And then what happened? Beckett, gone. Lowell, gone. Derek Lee, gone. Juan Pierre, gone. This is their move. The problem is they haven't won in a while.
Jeff Conine.
Jeff Conine is the one constant. They pissed him off. They ran him out of the organization. He was an ambassador. And they're like, nope, fuck this. I think that was under Jeter and David Sampson. So, Christian Yelich gone. Giancarlo Stanton gone. Marcelo Ozuna gone. Like, come on.
Really good at getting talent and getting rid of it.
It's a fucking poverty franchise, bro. I'm sorry. I don't take joy in this. They got a friggin' beautiful ballpark. They have had success. They have two World Series titles. And this is what they do. Like, this is their move. I'm just gonna run this shit in the fucking ground. And think about the guys. Somebody posted the guys that they got for Christian Yelich. All of them are out of professional baseball. Monty Harrison went back to college and he's playing college basketball. He's got all his eligibility. So, I mean, Lewis Brinson, I think, is still in affiliated, but he's in the Mexican League, I think.
All right, listen. You could just contract one team. You don't have to contract two teams, right?
No, I would say
have the wrong number.
The A's are trying, dude. The A's are like one game.
Yo, the A's are good.
A's, what the hell?
The A's are good. The A's are the Indians. They're the Rick Vaughn Indians.
This guy here
Wild
is dead.
Thing, you make my butt sting.
I didn't test you. Oh my god! Yes. Like what the hell?
I hate
there's so
that
many parallels.
Fucking song. They have, like, the best closer in baseball.
Kid throws 105 miles an hour. Like, what the fuck? Where'd that come
from?
They're
in third place. They're only three games back of the Mariners. They're ahead of the Angels and the Astros. They bludgeoned the Yankees last week.
I gotta tell you, Sacramento is gonna get a hell of a team.
They are.
Sacramento is gonna get a hell of a team. But like, it's amazing to me that the A's are doing so well, but the White Sox are in the shitter. The White Sox have a long history. The Marlins have a history of mediocrity. Like they build up and then they realize they can't sustain it and they sell it off. Look at what they did when they first opened the ballpark. Mark Burley, Jose Reyes, they brought in Ozzie Guillen. I mean, Ozzie Guillen made the stupid Castro comment. Like, but you know, that's the only reason why he got fired. But you know,
the PR guy was like, "Oh shit!
Oh my god! Why would you say something about Castro in
what did
fucking
he just
Miami?
Say?
Like, what are you? What are you? Are you trying to get fired?
Did he just say what I think he did?
No! Cut them! Just pull it! Somebody grab his tongue! Grab his tongue!
Tell me we weren't live. Are we live? God damn it!
I gotta do another take. Now we're live, pal.
Oh, man.
Oh.
They have more wins than the Rockies.
Oh, come
They've
on.
They were trying to win when the season started. I don't know what's happened now, but
Kim Ng looks like a fucking genius for leaving. Like, Skip Schumacher won manager of the year last year.
Oh,
they're not they didn't renew his contract. He won manager of the year last year. Clearly he knows
Thanks,
what he's
Skip,
doing.
We're gonna have Thanks, Skip. We're going to have to let you go. Sorry, what was that?
You speaking my good ear?
Okay.
Como? What? But I won manager of the year. I said what I said.
And that's fine. That should help you on your next part of your journey.
When you're managing the White Sox. That's on your resume right there. Oh, god damn it. Bullshit or no shit. Number three. The Toronto Maple Leafs should blow it up.
Man, you know, I was talking to you in live time with this. I felt terrible. I really did. Because they have good players. They have a good team. And I don't know why, but it just reminds me of those Red Sox teams. Remember before, when they had Garcia Parra, mm-hmm. and they had Mo Vaughn. And it's like, you guys are good, but you just can't seem to win the games you're supposed to win. You just can't seem to beat teams. And like, come on, like... Like, Tavares is a good player. Niedermeyer, good player. Like, they got good players. and they were just all hurt. They were hurt. Matthews was hurt. You could tell he was hurt. They're all hurt for that damn series. And, you know, you're what they were. I'm pretty sure they were down 3-1, right? They were down 3-1, and then they came back. And it was just too little too late, man.
Austin Matthews tried to be Willis Reed. He tried.
It's hard. Yeah, he really did. And you can see he was in pain. And I don't think they should blow it up. But I hate this. It sounds terrible. But they're close. It's like what you were saying before. They're a 4-5. You know?
The treadmill of mediocrity.
Year 5, next year they'll be a 4. Like, they just need... They need to get hot. They need to catch the wave at the right time. You know, maybe try to strike a deal with Pittsburgh, get one of those Penguin boys, because maybe that'll help. I don't know. I don't want to say they're a player away, because I do feel they're right there. Not that they were lucky in the first. They were lucky to, you know, lose in the first round, but you know, the puck didn't really bounce their way, you know, the way they needed it to. So I'm gonna say bullshit. Three bullshits for me.
I gotta go no shit on this one. It's been 60 something. It's been 57 years since they won a damn Stanley Cup. Now, it's bad. Like, a Canadian team has not won since 1993 in general. The Leafs have not won since significantly further back. The whole is not greater than the sum of its parts. I think we can agree on that, except the Boston Red Sox, good example. The contemporary New York Mets. The whole is not greater than the sum of its parts. So, Mitch Marner, solid player, 27 goals, 59 assists, 85 points. Like, great stats. Stat compiler, good job. Not when the lights are bright. John Tavares took all that money. Solid regular season performance, not that great in the postseason. Do they move him back to the island? Would the Islanders be interested in that? Because they need firepower. The island, that's very interesting. Do the Islanders value him and do they think that they're close?
Value who?
John Tavares. Would they value a reunion with him?
I don't think he wants to go back.
They trade him. It doesn't matter what he wants to do.
I don't give a fuck what you want.
You have a contract. I'm going to trade you. So, I mean.
John, you've been traded.
Where am I going?
They'll call you with the details.
I got you an outfielder. Franklin. Not those Giants.
Yo, John. Masahiro Tanaka.
Formerly of the Tokyo Giants. Oh my god. But, you know, Nylander came up big. Austin Matthews was trying. They can't find a goaltender to save their lives. Kyle Dubas did not do a great job of building this team when 50% of the cap is locked up in 4 players and you're kind of just like filling out the roster. Tie it back. It's like when LeBron signed on with the big 3 in Miami. They had to go fill in with like 10-day contracts. Like, you have to fill in with these guys who are barely hanging on.
Right.
So it's one of those things that it all sounds great on paper. Yes, William Nylander got paid. Yes, Mitchell Marner got paid. Yes, bring home John Tavares. He gets to sleep in his Toronto Maple Leafs sheets at home. But at the end of the day, like, you need the rest of that team. And there are some pieces there. Like, there's some fine pieces there. But you know what? The whole is not greater. So I'm saying you keep Austin Matthews. You explore trading Mitchell Marner. You explore trading John Tavares. Like, the Vegas Golden Knights. I'm sure the Vegas Golden Knights would cream themselves to try and get John Tavares. Just because they seem to value guys who are over 30 who were once stars. So that's kind of like the Vegas Golden Knight move. So I would say keep Nylander, keep Matthews, move the other two, try and get a goalie prospect. At the very least, get a couple of goalie prospects. Get some depth for your organization and rebuild, because this ain't it. You said it best yourself. There are four or five. They're there all the time. It's that treadmill of mediocrity that you're talking about. They'll just alternate places next year. But the city of Toronto has been waiting a very long time. The nation of Canada has been waiting for a very long time. And something tells me that they're getting very, very impatient with Toronto Maple Leafs.
Your favorite podcast has its own merch line now. Go to the Fade store with DNZ.com today for all your Fade Route merch needs. I'm talking tank tops, t-shirts, sweatshirts, like yoga pants, we got those too. Like some cool accessories, we got those too. And we're not done yet. We have so much more planned for you, but check out what we have today at the Fade store with DNZ.com. That's the Fade store with DNZ.com. The Fade Store presents the Alleged Superstar of the Week Award. All right, boys and girls, you know what time it is. It's time for the Alleged Superstar of the Week. You know how it goes. We put up a poll on our X account and our Instagram account at FadeRouteDNZ and at FadeRoutePodcast, respectively. And you vote. And you vote, and you vote, and you vote. And the winner of said vote gets a shout on this here show and takes home the coveted ass trophy. And do you know who took home the coveted ass trophy, D?
I don't.
The Falcons. Narrowly. Narrowly. Falcons. By one
nice.
Vote.
Oh, nice. It's mine.
By
yes.
one vote over
Racking
Kevin Durant.
It up lately, baby.
So.
Love it. Crushing it.
Yeah, it looks like that Penix pick has fallen flat. That Penix pick is a little flaccid. It's not working out the way that the Falcons hoped. But that was last week. This is this week. Who are your nominees for Alleged Superstar of the Week, D?
All right, first up, I've got your boy Rashee Rice.
Oof.
Suspect in alleged assault in Dallas. Dude, just get out of Dallas, man. Just get out of Dallas. It's just not working out for you there.
For God's sake,
Rashee Rice, you are my Alleged Superstar of the Week. Number two, I've got Austin Rivers. You think there are 30 players in the NBA that could play in the NFL? Dude, you couldn't even play in the NBA. Pretty sure your dad traded for you and signed you at one point. There are more than 30 people that don't even belong in the NBA. Austin Rivers, you are my Alleged Superstar of the Week. And number three, I've got the Houston Astros currently in last place in the AL West behind Oakland and the Angels. Haters' ERA is over 6, and the Astros can't seem to beat the Yankees. I think their time is up. Oh, I got a bonus one for you, Z. I'm going to go with Jamal Murray, shooting 30% Ooh. From the field, throwing a towel and a heating pad at an official during a game, and you're not even going to get suspended. Man, Adam Silver, you're soft. Jamal Murray, you are also my Alleged Superstar of the Week. What do you got, Z?
I mean, those are all good choices. You really can't dispute them, especially Jamal Murray. Like, that's just bad. Rashee Rice, like, by all accounts, like, people say he's a good kid, right? So, I don't know what the hell's going on with him. But I would say getting out of Dallas is a good place to start. Escape from Dallas. I think that'd be a good place to start. I'm going to start with Patrick Beverley. Throwing a hissy fit when some fans of the Indiana Pacers were trolling you by saying Cancun on 3, 1, 2, 3, Cancun.
Oh, yeah. He threw it at someone's face.
He chucked a ball at somebody's head. He chucked a ball at a fan's head.
Twice.
Because he missed. That's all
he
needs to know.
He also went off on some reporter saying he wasn't going to talk to her because she doesn't follow him on Instagram.
His podcast.
She doesn't subscribe to his podcast.
You don't subscribe to my podcast? You can leave.
Start throwing the basketball at people at work that don't listen to the podcast.
I know, right? Like, this is it. Like, children, why don't you listen to my podcast? You're all getting Fs.
No, that's not how this works, Patrick. To organically grow a fan base, it's probably not a good idea to chastise people and bully them into doing what you want them to do. Call me crazy, but I don't think that strategy is going to work. We can put you in touch with our social media person. That might give you a little bit of an edge there. But Patrick Beverly, oi, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Number two. Now, this one's kind of a funny one, but it's still pretty bad. Greg Amsinger of MLB Network. Yeah. Dodgers, Marlins, Yoshinobu Yamamoto on the mound. And he said, break in before the first pitch is thrown. We got a no-hitter alert. I'm telling you right now, we have a no-hitter alert. Guess what happened the first pitch of the game, D?
Base hit, home run, something.
Jazz Chisholm took Mr. Yamamoto deep. So much for that no-hitter. Greg Amsinger, you're a freaking clown. Are you kidding me? Like, so much hype around the Dodgers. And Yamamoto's having a solid year. I think he was 3-1, 2.91 ERA. Solid. But come on. The hype is just out of freaking control. Greg Amsinger, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Last but not least, we have columnist for the Indianapolis Star, Greg Doyle, who will no longer be allowed to cover Indiana Fever basketball games because of his strange, creepy interaction with Caitlin Clark. While she was on the dais, he wanted to ask her a question and began by giving her the little heart hand gesture that she reserves for her family, and it led to a very weird interaction. At which point, he ended this weird interaction with, well, start doing it to me and we'll get along fine. Bro, what are you doing? You come off so creepy. And now you not only got suspended, but now you can't cover the team anymore. Hope it was worth it. Hope it was worth it, my man. Greg Doyle, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Oh, we do have a bonus one, though. We do absolutely have a bonus one. And why am I not surprised? Ipe Mitsuhara is back in the news. Pleading guilty. Facing up to 30 years in the clink. So I hope that that check clears when he comes out from Mr. Otani. Ipe Mitsuhara, you are my alleged superstar of the week. I think we've said our piece. Go to our X account at FadeRouteDNZ or go to our Instagram poll at FadeRoutePodcast and vote. And vote, and vote, and vote. And for our nominee. Just do better, boys. Just do better.
This has been The Fade Route with DNZ. Thanks for tuning in. Catch our podcast on Wednesday nights on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcast. So until next time, stay faded, everyone.
Time for us to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of our podcast. If you like what you heard and want to hear more, be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Rate us 5 stars, leave us a review, turn on subscription notifications, and tell your friends. Spread the word, spread it wide.